Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Lane Show.
Another action-packed edition of the Tony Lane Show. It is the truly fabulous Tony Lane, along with Maris, as we welcome you to episode 355 of the Tony Lane Show. Of course, reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, the destination to hear the show live, and then, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. The easiest way to get the newest episodes as they're published right to the device of your choice. Easy peasy. And even works with those smart devices, you know, like the Echo and the Google Home.
The fancy stuff.
Yeah. And I've been trying those. Well, I tried the Google. Even though I'm tempted to try the Amazon one also. I just did the little one now, the little mini.
Gotcha. Yeah. Just the one.
Yeah, just before, you know, I make a big investment, I want to kind of test it out and see how it is. It's pretty cool, though. You know, but then it can be annoying at the same time, I guess.
And did you download Animal Crossing?
No.
Is
that like the game on the phone or something?
Yeah, Nintendo released a Animal Crossing game for both iOS and Androids.
See, and I don't really do games on my phone, which is...
I'm weird. Like, I had picked up it's been a little over a year that I had my phone now, my Galaxy.
Right.
I have maybe three games on it. Animal Crossing is one of them. I have a hidden objects, like a questing game, but like you play different types of mini games to do your quests type
right.
thing. And then I have a scratch off game because I'm addicted to scratch offs. And that's it. Now, actually, I shouldn't say that. I have Albion Online, but that's a PC game. They just happen to also have it that you can play on Android only. And then there's a game called Aeon Altar, and you use your either phone, iPad, any wireless device as the controller to play the game.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'll tell you what, it's a great game. We actually kickstarted it originally. They did a fantastic job on it. It's really, really ingenuitive.
I don't even play them on my iPad either. Like, I'm strictly...
I have a few,
at the moment,
but...
just console.
Yeah, I have a few on my iPad. But, I mainly use my iPad to, watch... stuff. Like I scroll through YouTube and Netflix like it's TV. Like that's my TV. So I'm not watching TV. I watch it on my iPad, but I mainly game on my PC. Or if I have a console hooked up, I'll play on that.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing is fun. You should join me.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm just with the games on the phone. I don't know. I just never got into them. And I was the fool, remember, that, that got a Vita.
Oh, yeah. You were all up on that.
Yeah. I still have my Vita. It's still not
I
a
still
bad
have,
piece of hardware.
I still have my two PSPs.
I mean, you can actually still play, like, Netflix and stuff like that. And you can still play games on it. They just don't put any new stuff on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a game collector, so I have plenty of games for my PSPs, and it's not like they're really putting new stuff out for it, but I still have, there are some good games on it.
Right. Right. Love the portable games there, but basically, I was never a big handheld game person. Like, I never had Game Boy. You know, I took Game Gear back
then. I loved my Game Boy. Then I had Game Gear. I've had of many iterations of handheld games and have been horribly addicted to them.
Until Game Gear gave me the symptoms, the epilepsy symptoms that they give you the warning.
Really?
Yeah, it made me dizzy and nauseous.
Wow.
So I sold it for like $20, like I was a crackhead or something. Like, they probably thought I was trying to get a hit or something. I was like, no, I just wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah, ooh, that's a shame that it did that to you. I actually had a game that did do that to me recently on PC.
Oh, wow.
It just, I guess it, you know, I do a lot of, like, reviews on, like, early access games and things like that, and this was an early access game, and they needed to do a little better on the graphics, because I'll tell you what, it made me so sick. I all of a sudden started getting that, like, dizzy migraine and felt like I was just going to get sick. And this is live on camera that I'm, like, starting to turn gray and stuff. It's like, and I've never had a game do that to me until that one.
I mean, some of the VR stuff can get you dizzy and disoriented as well.
Yes, it can.
So I have to be cautious with what I do on the VR as well, because I had vertigo before, like true vertigo.
I can't go on roller coasters because of it. I have to take a meclizine before I go on roller coasters because I get really sick. I never had that problem until I was an adult.
See, I never did either, but I mean, when I got hit with that damn vertigo, it was like true.
It's bad.
And they still don't know what caused it. That was what was so crazy. Like, I just got it.
Wow.
And it was like really, really bad.
How long
did
you have it for?
I mean, the whole dizziness and nausea was for like a day, but for several weeks.
It kind of lingered and you were not feeling so hot.
Right. I had the symptoms for several weeks where...
Yeah, that's classic vertigo.
Lights bothered me. I mean, I couldn't watch, you know, like a cop car or an ambulance with a flashing light. That fucked with my head, made me dizzy. Traffic lights, any you know, somebody with a turn signal, anything that was flashing like that, like, made me dizzy.
Yeah, that's good old classic vertigo. That's a terrible feeling. I've had it before, too. And you want to talk about just feeling bad. Like, you don't feel right at all.
No. And at the time, I had a pretty long commute to get to work.
Terrible.
Like, it was almost like an hour, and that was kind of tough driving and dealing with lights when you can't really deal with lights. If that makes
absolutely. It's not easy to deal with that. Like, people don't realize, like, if you're going through that and you see a flashing light or something like that, like, it sets everything off. Your eyes to bother you, you feel light, you know, you can't stand up straight, it's you want to be sick, you start to get like those headaches behind your eyes. It's like people don't get it, that have never had it, don't get how bad you feel.
That right, and that's the truth, and I was one of them. I remember somebody had vertigo, and I kind of didn't really believe that it was as bad as they said it was until I went through it myself. Now, anytime somebody says, I'm like so sympathetic to it because I know what it's like now.
So right.
You know, you never know what it's like till you walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
Yes. And then you realize it's like, okay, this is no joke.
Right. Right. Because from you know, to somebody else, it seems like, oh, well, you got to be kidding. It can't be that bad.
Yeah. Well, that's the same with depression and things like that. You get those people that are like, if they don't see something physically wrong, you're fine. And unfortunately, that's not how some sicknesses and illnesses work.
Yeah, that's true. And like with me, the whole thing just came out of nowhere because, you know, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, anything like that. And it was really unexplainable. They had no idea why. As a matter of fact, I didn't even take the damn medicine that they gave me to stop the vertigo.
I'll tell you what, that medicine is a godsend if you have vertigo. Like, it works amazing. Next time, if you ever have, and for anybody that has vertigo or feels like it, they sell it over the counter. It's Dramamine. You just look for the one that says Meclizine 25 milligrams, and that's the prescription. It's actually an over-counter medication. You just get it cheaper if you have the doctor write you a prescription.
Gotcha.
So anytime you have that, you can go pick up what's it called, Dramamine, or what do they call the brand for seasickness? I forget. Is it Dramamine that I'm thinking of?
I have no idea.
But there's two types. One's Meclizine, over the counter, dirt cheap, works amazing.
So I wonder, did anyone have like overkill with turkey over the holiday weekend?
I tried not to because we had entirely too much food. Like, we had four people because we were celebrated it on Wednesday, since my fiance's birthday was on Wednesday, and I work a double on all Thursdays, holiday or not. So I was working all day on Thanksgiving. So we had four people. We had like a 15-pound turkey, a whole lasagna, like dozen and a half to two dozen cup pies, 3 pounds of sweet potatoes, 3 pounds of white potatoes, cranberry sauce, stuff it like I still have food.
Right, right.
I can't even.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of went overboard with the sides as well. Like there was, you know, like you know you're going to get the bird. So then the sides are the one thing, and we just
went
crazy.
Oh, the sides you got to go all out on.
We went crazy with the sides. It was like, you know, seven different sides. It was like crazy.
Oh, God. Yeah, I only had like, I had close to that. I shouldn't talk. Like, we go ballistic on the sides. Oh, we also had meatballs, sides of meatballs. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, it was something. But it was cool.
That's good. Did you have a lot of people?
No, just five. And then, you know, my nephew,
the little one.
Little one, yeah.
That's not bad. Oh, yes, the wrestler.
The four-year-old wrestler.
The John Cena fan. The little Cena fan that you need to take to Suplex City.
Right.
That's terrible. I shouldn't say that.
Well, he likes everybody. It's, like, amazing how he knows all of the different characters and whatnot. It's so funny. Like, he could just call him out. You point to him, oh, that's such a thing. Like, he knows who everybody is.
Hey, but that's how it starts out. We were all there as kids.
That young. I didn't start watching it until, you know, I was much older than him. I mean, we started watching it at two.
Okay.
You know. But, I mean, two, I had never even seen wrestling when I was 2 years old. But... speaking of wrestling.
Speaking of.
You know, now, last week we did the special edition because I felt that NXT show was such a good show. It deserved a special edition review.
Oh, it kind of blew Survivor Series out of the water.
It was an amazing show from start to finish. And, you know, if you missed it, you can listen to that review, TonyLaneShow.com, of course. But the following night, we had the main roster Survivor Series. You know, this was one of the dual brand shows that they do every year, one of the big four. You know, they did release the pay-per-view calendar for 2018, and the big four is going to become the big five again. So they're going to do five dual branded shows next year instead of four, which makes sense. And the fifth dual branded pay-per-view is going to be Money in the Bank. So that makes sense.
That yeah, that does make sense because, I mean, you can't that's kind of stupid to only have it one brand.
Right.
That, I mean, or you'd have to have two of them to give both brands the...
This year it made sense because they were kind of trying to push the women Money in the Bank thing.
Yes, that's
and then
true.
With the men's Money in the Bank, even though Baron Corbin won it and he didn't have a successful cash in, obviously.
Right.
But if you did it on the Raw brand, nobody was going to cash in on Lesnar. So it kind of would have defeated the purpose.
Yes, that's true.
So I understand why they only did SmackDown only this year. But next year, things will be different because Roman Reigns is going to beat him at WrestleMania. Most likely.
Ugh.
Who is now a Grand Slam champion after Monday.
Yeah.
The big dog. It's his yard. So, the pay-per-view started. I mean, there were three very unspectacular pre-show matches. Elias and Matt Hardy wrestled in a nearly empty arena. Cause they keep doing these fucking pre-show matches. Like, so damn early, and I guess they barely opened the door. Like, I mean, we've all gone to sporting events or concerts or something before. It takes a while to get, you know, 12 to 15,000 people into a damn arena. They don't just appear in the arena. Most people stop and get concessions or, you know, run to the restroom, whatever the fuck they do, buy souvenirs, which, of course, WWE wants, before they go take their seat. Most people do. So, I don't know if doors open at 5 and you put on the first fucking match at 5:30, I don't know how they think the people are going to be in their seats by 5:30. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, first off, it's like, you figure, yes, there's going to be people waiting in queue and there's going to be lines and stuff like that, but there's not going to be some people showing up till 5:30.
True.
It's like, and then you're right, people want to get in line, the lines are long, you're going to be in line for 20-30 minutes just to get your drinks and your concessions and stuff like that before you even get in there.
Right.
And then you want to buy your merchandise before anything sells out. Like, there's a lot going on when you do that stuff.
Right. Right. It's never just, you know, walk into the arena. Then, of course, you got to go through. Now there's a big security check for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that takes a while even, you know, unto itself, you know, for everybody to go through the whole security check. So I don't know why they keep doing this on these big four pay-per-views, putting these fucking matches. They're practically empty arena matches because nobody's there yet. So when Elias and Matt Hardy wrestled, it was like literally a smattering of people out there.
Which is also crazy, because think about it. Like, think of how popular the Hardys are. We know the Hardys are popular. Why would you put that on so early, knowing the time crunch?
Yeah, it just makes no sense. And that was an unadvertised match as well.
That really shouldn't matter.
Right. Right. The only unadvertised match, or that was an advertised match. Yeah, I'm getting all confused. Was the Cruiserweight Championship match with Enzo Amore defending against Kalisto, and of course he successfully defended the title.
Yeah,
and then the third pre-show match, which was not advertised, which was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Breezango.
Which they've got some heat going on.
They do.
Some legitimate heat. We're not talking like works or anything like that. We're talking heat from the top brass in the locker room.
Yes, this is true. But now they're starting to blur the line a bit and working into an angle.
Yes, that's true. But also, from what I understand, it's getting a little better on Kevin Owens, but there's still a problem with Sami Zayn. I just don't know, like, I don't know what their issue with Sami Zayn is. Like, I'm not...
Probably because he's small and he's a good wrestler. Because it seems like...
Well, yes,
McMahon,
he is one of the best guys they have.
McMahon doesn't seem to like small, good wrestlers. Except for AJ Styles. He seems to have taken a liking to him. But
which is about damn time.
Obviously, you know, he has an issue with Finn Balor.
Well, who was a fantastic wrestler, by the way.
I mean, just like Sami Zayn, he's a small guy, great wrestler.
Finn Balor's very small, though. Like, when I was watching, whatchamacallit, Survivor Series, when he came, he's like with all these behemoths, and he's this little kid. And it's like, ooh, he's small, but he's so good.
He is very good, but McMahon says without that demon persona, he's bland. He acknowledged him as a good worker, but he said he's very bland. And so much that they pulled him from the proposed main event for Royal Rumble, which was going to be Lesnar versus Balor. That match has now been scrapped. And Balor never got his rematch for the Universal Championship that he never lost.
Correct. He did not. They just kind of fucked him and were like, oh, well, too bad.
Right. And just never really bring it up that he was the first Universal Champion. Well, once in a while, Michael Cole might say it. But they never really make anything of it.
Which is a shame. Yeah, that is really a shame.
So we get on to the main show. We have the Reunited Shield in their first official televised match. Because of the mumps or whatever the hell Roman Reigns was dealing with at the previous pay-per-view, Kurt Angle substituted for him. So you kind of had a Shield reunion, but not a real Shield reunion. So this is the first real match that the Shield was involved with on television. And they defeated the New Day. Pretty good match, though. Pretty good opener. Then things started to go downhill. We had the Women's Survivor Series match. Team Raw won, which was obvious because you knew they were going to protect Asuka. I mean, she's undefeated. They're not going to let her lose in some multi-person match. You knew Raw was going to win. They had to win because Asuka can't lose.
Right. Yeah, I knew that she was going to win. So, I mean, that wasn't a problem. It was okay, though.
Yeah, I mean, some spots were a little sloppy, you know, but it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, it was watchable.
Yeah, but there were definitely some sloppy spots, in particular, like when Naomi and Alicia Fox were in there. Like, I think Alicia Fox accidentally got pinned, and, you know, I guess she missed the count. Kind of like when my girl, the artist formerly known as Emma, accidentally pinned Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch didn't kick out in time.
Accidentally, quote unquote. Yeah. We've seen that happen in a little thing called the Montreal Screwjob too.
Yeah. Well,
that was a little different.
Yeah, that was more of a screwjob. Yeah, Becky Lynch, she was really knocked silly and really didn't hear the first guy. You know,
yeah.
And she got pinned by accident, and they were told. The referees were told to keep the count so it doesn't look so fake.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many times have we seen them screw up and it's like, come on.
So he counted three, and the
That's
bell rang, and, you know, Tennille looked shocked, like, what the fuck, did I win? And they were like, yeah, and they started playing her music, and, you know, she clearly wasn't supposed to win, but...
Yeah, well, you know, it happens, and... Crap does happen. Sometimes it doesn't come out planned.
Yeah. And we got some news on her coming up in just a few seconds.
Ooh.
United States champion Baron Corbin defeats Intercontinental champion The Miz. You know, The Miz-tourage was all involved. He had his pregnant wife, the lovely Maryse, at ringside. And, you know, it was typical match. Most people didn't expect much from it. It was better than we thought, but it was, you know, it was what it was. Then the tag team champions versus the tag team champions, the Usos, the SmackDown tag team champions defeating the Bar of the Raw tag team champions. What I thought was a very entertaining match. I thought that the Bar and the Usos was really, really good.
Yes.
And, I mean, of course it's going to be with those guys, you know, four really good workers. Then on to the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair. She had a victory over the Raw Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss. It was okay. You know, wasn't anything to write home about, but it was a decent match. The only thing that was pretty funny at the end, you saw the big boot that set up the figure eight. You saw the boot didn't even hit Alexa. It didn't even come close to hitting her.
Yeah.
And then, because Alexa's so damn short, when she did the figure eight, you could see her foot was barely touching her knee, like, in the figure four position, because she's so damn short, it was, like, barely there, like, you know.
Yeah, just kind of, you know.
Barely touching. So it was like, you want to make the figure four believable, but we know Alexa's 5 feet tall, and it, you know, she's got little short legs, and it barely looked like it was even applied fully because she's so short, you know. But it was an okay match, though. I've seen better.
Mm-hmm.
Then Universal Champion Brock Lesnar over WWE Champion AJ Styles. I thought it was a very good match.
It actually was. It was. The way he was just flinging AJ Styles around was like, eek.
Right. And AJ is such a good worker. Like, not a lot
of people
are able to perform at the level that he does. I mean, he's one of those once-in-a-generation type guys, like a Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart or Ricky Steamboat or Flair. You know, those guys that really make other people look good.
Yes.
Not a lot of people can do that. AJ is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And just phenomenal. And even the end there where he goes for the phenomenal forearm and then goes into the F5, the fact that he is just, I mean, he slingshots himself where he's in the right position for the fucking F5. I mean,
yes,
like,
that's true.
Just how good he is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was entertaining. It was just crazy watching him getting flung around like that because Brock Lesnar's so big. You can really see the difference in size. It was just like, woo.
Lesnar obviously had some respect for him.
He did.
He sold that calf crusher.
Yes, he did.
Big time. And if you notice when he wrestled some of the other smaller guys like Ambrose, where he really didn't sell for him.
Yeah, if he likes you, he'll sell it. If he doesn't like you, he ain't selling shit.
Right, but he sold the hell out of that.
Fuck yeah, he did.
Even to the point to where, when it was over, he was limping to the back.
Well, the good thing about it is, like, I'm wondering if they're going to try to set something else up with AJ. And first off, it was a good match, and people looked forward to it, and it had a lot of hype. And it wasn't bad, and they were both working good. Like, AJ's that good, but Brock seemed to be into working and going along with everything, too, and selling stuff. Like, it looked legitimate. Like, you know when you see those little guys against the big guys?
Right.
And it's, you know, some of it's, you're just like, yeah, whatever. That's not, no. But at least, like, it looked legit. Like, it looked like he had a chance.
Right. It did. And you know, it takes a good little guy like AJ to really make it believable. I mean, the last time I thought a little guy looked good with Brock would have been, you know, the late, great Eddie Guerrero.
I was going to say Eddie Guerrero.
When Eddie beat him for the championship. And then, you know, Shawn worked with a lot of big guys and was able to really pull it off. Bret Hart, I mean, to me, one of the best matches Diesel had was against Bret Hart, because Bret Hart made him look fantastic.
Speaking, you're talking Survivor Series 95. Speaking of which, I, for some odd reason, I've been on this classic Survivor Series kick, so I just watched that last night.
Oh, so it's fresh in your mind.
It's fresh in my mind. What a fucking
match
that was. Oh,
right.
My God.
And that was something that it was believable that a man Bret Hart's size could beat Kevin Nash. Because he outsmarted him.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, holy shit, this match is great.
And he took his legs out.
He did. But that was the whole trick, you know, take the legs out, have a better chance. Like, but they sold the shit out of everything, too.
Right.
Like,
that was psychology, too. Like, it made sense.
Yes,
like,
it did.
You can put anybody who's never watched wrestling before, they
watch that match.
Mm-hmm. And they could follow along that, oh, this is how this little man beat this big man.
Yes. I was like, man, this was a good match. Just watched it last night.
That's one of the things that Bret Hart was so good at, that
he
brought a legitimacy to wrestling that mm-hmm. a lot of people don't do. Like, especially in this day and age, it's very difficult to get a lot of these guys to do something that would be considered realistic.
Yes, that's true.
You know, they go for the high spots and the pops from the crowd and they want the this is awesome chant and all that shit. But sometimes just doing something that would logically make sense is better.
Yes.
And that's something that Bret Hart was excellent at. You know, they call him the excellence of execution for a reason.
I mean, when I tell you, like, I thoroughly enjoyed what I was watching. I was like, man, this was good.
Oh, you can go back and watch quite a few of those shows and be entertained. The 96 one when Austin and Bret Hart, that was a good match.
I haven't made it to 96 yet. I've done 90 through 95 so far.
That's the one when Shawn loses the title to Psycho Sid. And then if you watch that, though, you have to watch the 97 Royal Rumble when he wins the belt back, though, because it's kind of...
Oh, that is a good match, though.
But, yeah, those some great matches. And these are matches that I haven't seen these matches in 20 years. But, I mean, they were so vivid because they were so good. I still remember. I mean, you know, I can watch them on the network or whatever, but I just... haven't watched them recently, but
yeah, I've just been on.
I remember them like they were yesterday.
I've just been on a weird classic kick, and like have not been able to stop watching stuff. But like my Survivor, I've been doing a lot of Survivor Series lately.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. You go back to a lot of those. Now this main event, not so much when it comes to good stuff. All of the newer guys to the main roster were pretty much buried and beaten early, and I mean you finish with Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle, Triple H. I mean Braun Strowman was the only newer guy that they put over.
That's because they're trying to push Braun, though.
Yeah, but I mean like they had opportunities to put over Bobby Roode.
Oh, they did.
And Balor and Joe, and they
didn't even bother. Yeah.
And left Kurt Angle and Triple H and Shane McMahon is three of the last, which was like, why are they even having this match?
Why are they even having this match? We've seen this match many times for many years.
Right. Like it was just very disturbing. And after coming off of such a good, strong show like NXT War Games and then going on to that, it just was really a letdown. You know, and being a fan of wrestling for all those years, you know, we get very passionate about wrestling.
Oh, we do.
And, you know, for the good things, I mean, like, after watching NXT TakeOver, it was one of those shows that you feel, like, proud to be a wrestling fan. And then after Survivor Series, you're like, disappointed. It's just very, very different feeling. So then we go to Monday Night Raw. Obviously, as I said, Roman Reigns went to the Intercontinental title. Miz is going off to make the Marine number
three.
20 or whatever the hell it is.
I think it's 3 or 4.
I think it's 6.
Really? I thought it was number 3.
Yeah, no, I think this is the fourth one that he's been in. And there was another one that John Cena was in, the first one. And then Ted DiBiase Jr., I think, was in one. So there's at least 6. But that's why they wrote him off TV. That's why he lost the belt.
Yeah.
But also, they wanted Roman Reigns to be a Grand Slam champion. So, twofold. But also, much to my delight, we had the return of Paige. And she got quite the pop when she returned there. But as they said, she did not come alone. She came with two NXT call-ups, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, and then they proceed to beat up the Raw roster, and then they do the exact same angle on SmackDown with three different girls, with Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Dobson. What the fuck is fuck is her name? Taylor Dobson? I don't know. I can't stand it. Amanda something. Whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'll get it in just a second.
It'll come.
Well, actually, I'm looking it up.
Oh.
Sarah Logan. Her name on the indie scene was Mary Dobson. That's where I was.
Ah, okay.
Because I was thinking of her indie name. But Sarah Logan is her WWE name. So they came out on SmackDown and beat up the SmackDown roster. So you basically had the identical angle on Raw and SmackDown with the women's division. And you basically had the return of Paige plus the addition of total five NXT girls all debut on the main roster. So there is speculation that you're having this, you know, influx of female talent because the plan is to have the first female Royal Rumble, which would be awesome. Royal Rumble, of course, is in Philadelphia this year. So, and they could do a female Royal Rumble. I mean, they've done everything else.
Oh, yeah, they could.
So, I wonder, what was the reason for, like, doing the same damn angle twice, though? It was cool seeing the girls called up, though. I mean, like, Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan, they're veterans of the indie scene, so they would be good, you know, in terms of their work rate. I don't know whether they'll be able to get over, though. I'm shocked that they even brought Sarah Logan up to the main roster. You know, like, I mean, she was in the Mae Young Classic. She's not a bad work, but this is WWE we're talking about.
Yeah.
And as much as they may try and act like, you know, this women's revolution, and yeah, they have come a long ways from where they were, believe me. But we all know it still has a lot to do with how you look.
Yes, it does.
I mean, that's why I like
100%. Yes.
Because she's pretty. And when Alexa Bliss was in NXT, she was like a mid-carder at best. She never was in the championship picture in NXT. She was, you know, she had that little sparkle gimmick and with the tutu and all that, and
which was so bad.
Most people didn't even look twice. I mean, you know, she was pretty, so you just kind of look at her like, oh, yeah, she's hot, but she wasn't like a serious contender.
Right.
And then when they put her with Blake and Murphy as their manager, that's when she turned heel and started showing you a little more of a heel persona. And she was good with the facial expressions, and she talked a lot of shit. And, you know, she was very good there, kind of found her call in playing the bad guy. But when she was called up to the main roster, most people thought, you know, she was just going to be another face in the crowd because she was one of the last people to be drafted, if you remember, when they did the brand extension. And next thing you know, a couple of months later, she won the damn championship. And she held on to the championship. And then, you know, the Little Miss Bliss t-shirt, which I actually bought the Little Miss Bliss t-shirt because it's a cool t-shirt. First time I bought a t-shirt of a female wrestler. And it started selling, merchandise moving. They kept the belt on her. They move her to Monday Night Raw, and she wins the belt on Raw, too.
Yep. Merchandise is still moving, too.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, and most of 2017, she's been the champion.
Mm-hmm.
Either on SmackDown or Raw. And she went from being nothing on NXT. I mean, you know, not nothing, but certainly not one of the main contenders. And most of it has to be because she's a nice-looking woman. Which is why I think Liv Morgan, who's very pretty, probably is going to do well.
That's true.
you know, Liv Morgan. Plus, Liv Morgan kind of has two things going for her. A, she's really pretty. B, she kind of has that persona, like she's always tweeting about eating pizza and hanging out and doing shit like that. So she's kind of going to give him that kind of
girl next door
nerd vibe, kind of like what AJ Lee was.
Yeah.
I don't know if she plays video games quite like AJ Lee, but she's going to kind of give that sort of vibe, and she could get over that way. And she's not a bad, I mean, she's young as hell. She's 23 years old.
Yeah.
You know, she was a legit Hooters girl, though. Like, she's from New Jersey, too.
Yeah.
Giovanna Daddio, that's her real name. And she can get over, based off of her looks and based off of her personality, more so than her in-ring ability. She's somewhat athletic, though. I mean, she does some pretty, like, she can do some of the stuff like Trish Stratus would do, like the Matrix move that Trish, she could do that, and she does some, you know, head scissors, and she's pretty athletic, you know, she can do, but she's not like a really good worker. When you look at Liv Morgan in the ring, you're not watching Frank Gotch and George Hackenschmidt, you're not watching an expert, you know.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, she'll get better, though, but I think she's going to have a better chance of moving up to the top of the card because of her looks than the other two would. And the other two are great workers.
Hmm.
But that's just the reality of the WWE.
That is unfortunately the reality.
And I'm willing to bet Liv Morgan will be a champion before those two girls are. And she can't even wrestle as good as them.
Hmm.
You know, and the guys, they will probably like her and be blinded to the fact that she's not the best worker. But kind of like they were with Kelly Kelly. If you recall, some guys actually thought Kelly Kelly could wrestle. And I'm
yes,
like,
that's
you
true.
Are you watching the same fucking match that I'm watching? And they're like, oh, she's great. She just, and I'm like,
no, she's not.
Right. The only thing that made her look good was the people she was in there with. Like, if she
yes.
was in there with somebody like a Jillian Hall or Beth Phoenix or even Melina Perez, as much as I can't stand her.
She can work, though.
Right. And they were able to carry her and, like, the Candice Michelles of the world and Maryse to decent matches. But she certainly couldn't do it on her own. Whenever she was in there against somebody who was as inexperienced as her, you saw how bad she was.
Mm.
But, you know, it was just, to a lot of people, Kelly Kelly was the shit. they really thought
aye,
she
aye.
Was a good worker. I heard that from many guys. I'm like, really? You're that
yeah.
blinded? She's like a hot blog.
That's exactly what it is.
Work.
Yep.
But she married some guy from the NHL, too. But and there's even talk that she, if they do this female Royal Rumble, that she actually might be a part of it. They might do some former stars in it as well, depending on how many people they put in it. So we'll see. So far, there's no firm plan that they are doing. It's just a rumor.
We'll see. I think right. I think it could be done, and I think it would be good.
Yeah, I
but
think
it should be fucked up very badly.
It could, but I actually would like for them to do it. You know, I mean, it's going to be in Philly. The Philly crowd would be hot. They'll be into it, and you know, I think it'd be good TV to have a women's Royal Rumble. You know, they certainly, since they're not going to have Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar, they need to fill up the time somehow. So I think that would be a good thing to do. And there's even more girls in NXT that they could put into the Royal Rumble, especially after that Mae Young Classic. You got like a bunch of girls down there now.
That's true.
And a lot of them are really, really good. Certainly better than some of the girls they bought up, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is.
Now, speaking of a good female wrestler, as I said, the artist formerly known as Emma, my girl, Tennille Dashwood, who apparently is just going to be going by her first name, Tennille. So she is making her in-ring return on the indie scene right here in New Jersey, in Rahway, New Jersey.
Nice.
2018, February 3rd, 2018, Tennille will be at the WrestlePro show. So go to WrestlePROonline.com, get ticket information, and see my girl Tennille in person. So, you know, I may go to this show.
How much is it? Do they have the price yet?
I don't see any price on here.
Hmm. You may have to go, too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Some good stuff there. So at least we'll see Tennille getting some bookings. And, you know, I think she'll do okay on the indie scene because she is a good worker. And that's the thing with her, that she was always more about the wrestling than anything.
And that's true.
I think that's why she struggled in WWE, because that's not what the main roster is about. It's about sports entertainment. And she's more into the in-ring stuff and not the entertainment part, which is why the whole Emelina thing didn't work.
Right.
But, so we'll see. Obviously, we wish Tennille the best of luck.
I think she's going to do fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's going to have a pretty good run on the indie scene. And who knows? She may pop up on, I hope not, Impact.
I know. It's kind of the same thing as WWE. The entertainment. And
not even. I mean, they are in such a bad space, it doesn't make sense.
That's true. I was trying to be nice.
I mean, this last thing, they sunk to new lows. Like, they literally, on the last set of TV tapings, they literally paid people to watch their show. I'm not kidding. Like, they didn't pay to get in, they got paid to go. They actually put a casting call for extras for them to film their wrestling TV show, and they paid you $50 a day to watch them tape Impact.
I'd get paid $50 a day and go watch it.
But, I mean, that shows you how bad things are for Impact.
If I remember correctly, I heard of them doing that once before.
Yeah. Well, normally it's free.
Yes. Normally it is free. But I've also heard of them back in the day, especially during the Monday Night Wars, paying people. Which would be WCW.
Yeah, WCW did do that. I believe. But Impact, and then they did all their tapings in Canada.
Oh.
They had a lot of talent that couldn't get into Canada, which was crazy.
Why couldn't they get it? Let me guess, they had DUIs?
I have no idea what the in particular, Talia Valkyrie was one of the stars who couldn't get in, and they were building the feud with her and Rosemary leading up to the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. And then just before, like the day before the show, all of a sudden Talia Valkyrie, who is Canadian, by the way, is not able to get into Canada. to wrestle the match. So they had to cancel the match that they had been building for the last several months. And of course, you know, they tape like 10 episodes all at once. So it's like mm-hmm. 2 or 3 months behind. And so you're expecting this match with her and Rosemary. It doesn't happen. And then with no explanation, they taped, you know, their other TVs right after they did the pay-per-view over the next like 4 or 5 days. So Talia Valkyrie's not going to be on any of those tapings because they were all done in Canada and she obviously couldn't get into Canada. So now you had this feud that you build up, no blow off for the feud. And now for the next couple of months on TV, you're not even going to see the woman on TV because she wasn't allowed to be at the tapings. And then all of a sudden she's just going to reappear when they tape in the United States again. And she's going to be like, it's a very bad run company. Like, that's like Bush League shit. Like, it's really, really bad.
Shit.
It really is.
No, it is. It is. That is a little ridiculous. I just don't understand why she couldn't get in, though. But I think, who was it just had issues that, was it UFC? That had people that couldn't get into China this time around to fight?
Not sure.
There was some issues, some big things, some sports people couldn't get in. There was some filming for something in China that had to do with sports, and some people couldn't get in there, and they had to change shit all around and cancel matches and crap.
Oh, because people couldn't get into the country?
Yeah, because they wouldn't let them in the country.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if that's something that's going to start going on now because maybe more security crackdowns. Because usually you don't hear about stuff like that. Now to have two within like a week.
True. So
it's like that's a little odd.
Right. I mean, there could be some things going on. You never know. But I did see that your girl Holly Holm is signed to fight Cyborg.
Yes.
What's up with that? She's going to get killed.
Well, we'll see. Because Holly Holmes is a women's world champion boxer.
She is.
So, I mean, listen.
She's going up against Cyborg.
I know. She's going up against Cyborg. I'm for Holly Holmes. I would like to see her win. But we'll see. That's not going to be an easy fight.
That's
not going to be an easy fight at all. It is an understatement. Yeah, that's not... I mean, let's face
last
it.
Words.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. We'll just got to keep throwing that out there because
Cyborg
is going to punch her very hard.
Right.
So it should be interesting though. I'm going to watch it, obviously.
Yeah, that's 3:19 or whatever the hell it is.
2:18. 219. No, it's on 219. Yeah, UFC 219.
Where the fuck did I come up with 3? I'm like 100 pay-per-views ahead.
Well, I mean, it's like, well, if you think about it, though, like, pay-per-view 100 was only literally like a year ago.
Well,
or it feels like, yeah, well, we're at 2, going on to 218 now. But, like, 100 literally felt like it was only like a year ago. But they have pay-per-views like every 2 fucking weeks. So, you know.
They do have a lot.
They have tons of pay-per-views. I mean, at one point, it was literally every 2 weeks there was a major pay-per-view on. And it's like, I can't keep paying $60 a freaking pay-per-view every 2 damn weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's too much. They are starting to do more fight nights and more Fox shows, which are better.
Yes, since they came out with Fight Pass and it's gotten more popular, they have cut down the amount of pay-per-views, but literally it was one every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm happy with the free fights. I like that they're doing more on Fox because that's good. They get more exposure.
Right, because before people are willing to spend money on these guys, they got to know who they are.
Exactly, and all they were doing was pay. That's why they had so many pay-per-views, because there wasn't any free shows going on. It was just pay-per-view, 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 and you were cutting all those people that will watch the free stuff that you might be able to get more pay-per-view buys with down the road if you at least build a repertoire with these people.
Right.
Instead of just buying a pay-per-view and not knowing what you're getting.
It was fine when you had... the superstars, you know, like the Conor McGregor, which, you know, whether or not he's going to fight for them again or not, and like the GSPs and even Ronda and you know, people that sell pay-per-views.
Right.
Even back in the day with, like, Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz and all those guys. But, you know, you have some people that may not have that crossover appeal. And, you know, are you going to really want to plunk down your hard-earned money for somebody you don't really know who they are?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they have to put more shows on TV so that people know who these people are.
Well, I think they've certainly made an improvement. It's helped.
Yeah, I agree. But Holly Holm's going to get killed.
You know what? May the best woman win. That's all I can say, because I'm not necessarily against Cyborg, and I'm down for Holly Holm, but, like, I know Cyborg's a beast.
Now, Ronda Rousey is working out at the Performance Center, and there is still a heavy rumor that she is going to be a part of WrestleMania, either in a one-on-one match against Charlotte Flair or in a multi-person match with the Four Horsewomen of MMA versus the Four Horsewomen of the WWE. So something like that could be planned. If they do a female Royal Rumble, you can maybe even have Ronda or somebody inserted into that. There's some interesting things that could happen. Right now, I think probably a move to WWE is probably the best move for Ronda. She could be protected in the fantasy world of WWE, unlike in the real world of mixed martial arts.
Yes.
And she's still very marketable. And
yes, she is.
And she could still be put over as a killer. Because, you know, Lesnar lost his last fight before his first return, and nobody cared when he came back to WWE.
That's true. That's definitely true.
You know, we were souped when we saw, I think he had lost to Alistair Overeem or one of those guys.
Yes.
And when he came back and beat up John Cena, nobody gave a fuck. We were just like, oh, shit, Brock Lesnar's back.
Yeah. Didn't he also suplex him like 15 times in that match?
Well, this wasn't even the match. This was when he first came back. He had just attacked
him.
Oh,
yes, yes, yes. I know what one you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so nobody cared about the fact that he lost. So I don't think that they would care about Ronda either.
No, I don't think they would either.
You know, and they can make her super strong in WWE.
They can.
So
she can make a lot of money over there.
Yeah, she could, because she could be very marketable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll buy her shirt just like I bought Alexa Bliss's. Who knows?
Ooh, look at you. Buying shirts.
Yeah. Could happen.
It could.
So, did you see Justice League yet or no?
No. I'm not a Justice League person.
Very disappointing.
I heard it was disappointing.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I'm not a Justice League person to begin with. So it's like, did I want to risk wasting the money, or do I want to wait for it? I mean, I'm probably still going to watch it, but I'll most likely wait till
it's on TV,
you know,
or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really not that. But I mean, Zack Snyder's not a good director. He really is not. And
no.
We really would. He keeping him as far away from those damn movies is probably the best thing. And you know, like I said, I know he went through that tragedy with his family, with his daughter and all that stuff. I mean, my heart goes out to him for that. But stay away from Justice League, please.
Yes.
And anything DC related, because he just is not a good storyteller. And you know, I know Joss Whedon came in to finish it, but and he reshot a lot of stuff. Cause I mean, the movie wasn't totally bad. It wasn't like Batman versus Superman.
No.
You know, you can see that somebody did do something. But it still wasn't what it should have been. It was much better than Batman vs. Superman, but that's not saying much, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people said it was a disappointment. They said that, although a lot of people said that they went in with low to no expectations.
Right.
So in that respect, it's not really a disappointment.
Yeah, I agree.
So
my expectations were high.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's like you kind of got to, you know, I have high expectations for it too. And I think that's my problem. And I think that's what's making me hold off. Because, I mean,
Wonder Woman was a letdown.
Great. Well, yes.
So you
but
come
like,
off of a really strong movie with
a crap one.
Yeah. Well, at least I don't want to say it was totally crap, but it wasn't what it should have been.
Yes.
I would say on my 5-star scale, it's probably like a 2-star. I wouldn't give it 1-star. I would say 2. Because it's watchable, but it's not what... Those heroes deserve better than that, in my opinion. But
yeah.
At least they undid a lot of what was done in Batman vs. Superman, which was just atrocious. That was just a terrible movie.
I still haven't seen it. I probably should just to see it, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not going to like that. But, And I don't think it's doing well at the box office either, Justice League. I didn't see the exact numbers, but I know it was disappointing. I know that.
Yes, I heard it was not so great. But no. I haven't really been watching it because, you know, with all the holidays and everything like that, I've been having a little too much going on.
Yeah, they're up to $171 million domestically. 309 internationally, though. So it's making its money overseas. So they all end up making a decent amount of money, but that's mainly because of the international take.
Yes.
So that is it for us this week. We will keep track of this whole crazy thing that's going on with these women invading WWE. What's going on here? But I'm glad to have Paige back, though.
I'm hoping that she stays straight and doesn't go crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to play it by ear with her, because you never know. I hope she does good. I'll just put it like that.
Yeah, and she's still super over. I mean, the reaction she got was really, really good. Like, the crowd popped big time for her. And she's still very young. I mean, Paige is only 25. Because you remember how young she was when she first got on the main roster. So
oh, yeah. She was like 21.
21 or something, right. So she's still very young. So she'll do okay, I think. And even now, with her return, she's still one of the youngest ones on the roster. I think Sarah Logan has her beat, though, because Sarah Logan's 24 and Liv Morgan is 23.
Ah.
But she's still, like, in the top 5 as far as youngest people on the roster. On the main roster, I should say.
Right.
Not the NXT people. So, all right. So, once again, remember, log on to TonyLaneShow.com, BlogTalkRadio.com/TonyLaneShow, and, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. So for Maris, I am Tony Lane, and we will see you next week. Shoot.
Think out loud. The Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in? That this is considered entertainment.
TonyLaneShow.com.